May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. A few years ago, I sat in a church service, as usual, in the pews at that stage, but instead of the confession being over in 5 minutes, as it normally is, it was quite a long and deliberate process. We all got given 2 pieces of flimsy paper and a pencil. As we sat in our pew, we were asked to reflect for a few minutes and write down all the people that, or at least some of the people, that we had wronged. Then we were to go forward and place the paper in a bowl of water together with others, so in which it dissolved into a papery mess. So the people I thought about at that stage were mainly the ones close to me, for example, my wife and other students. After all, we often hurt the people that are closest to us. When we sat in our pew again, we were told to write on the other piece of paper the names of our enemies and then come forward to dissolve the piece of paper in water so that if we could, we might forgive our enemies. I was stumped for a bit because there was really no one I could think of who I considered my enemy. Yes, there were some other students who were really annoying and dismissive of me, and their worldview were quite strange, and I didn't like them, but enemies? No, I didn't consider them my enemies. Then I thought a bit longer. Who would I have really wanted to strangle or at least in rage give a good kick up the backside? Once I asked the question that way, the answer wasn't that difficult. On top of the list was that immigration officer who made life difficult for us for months and the whole immigration system altogether. There was the bank representative who made life difficult, or the university administrator who stuck so ridiculously to the rules that it cost me hundreds of dollars only to satisfy some nonsensical requirement. I remembered bureaucrat after bureaucrat, big company representative after big company representative, who were all totally inconsiderate. And I realized then that it was not so much the people who were my enemies, but the systems behind them. It was easy to write the role of the person on the piece of paper and forgive them. But forgiving the system that made people act towards others in such a dehumanizing way was difficult, and I didn't do it. I don't really think that accepting oppressive and bad systems is what Jesus meant by forgiveness, but I'll explore that a bit later. First, I want to look again at those enemies, those representatives of faulty systems. It's not as if they were totally blameless. Many of them have interpreted the rules of their organization in the least human manner possible. I'm not sure what motivates them, but I do know that it can be difficult to be truly human if we want to protect ourselves. And sometimes it's difficult to be human if we fear the erosion of strict rules. Let me tell you about an experience with 2 different bus drivers. One evening we went to get the bus, but we were running a bit late, so the bus driver closed the door in our face because it was time to go. And it was. I got pretty angry at that bus driver and had a pretty low opinion of all of them at that point. The next bus came 20 minutes later. But it wasn't the bus that would leave us close to our destination. It stopped further off, and I actually didn't know exactly at which stop I had to get off to get to that destination. I told the bus driver where I wanted to go. Well, he did not only tell us exactly at what stop we should get off and how we then could get to our destination. He also stopped right at an intersection where there was no bus stop, just to make sure he could get as close as possible to our destination. Well, the first bus driver stuck to the rules and complied with all the safety regulations. The second broke the rules to help his passengers. I know which attitude towards others I would prefer. Of course, some might argue that there is a slippery slope, that if buses would not depart on time, then it would upset the whole system. And if bus drivers stopped just anywhere to facilitate life for their passengers, then the whole traffic system would, not work as well. But I would respond that a system that is meant to serve humans requires some humanity. If representatives do forget that humanity in dealing with others, then they do sin. But it is also right, I think, that we forgive them. That forgiving might be quite hard at times if we feel the injustice and the contempt that is directed towards us. Yet Jesus said, if someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. That goes against every notion of fairness, doesn't it? And would it not be the sign of a crushed spirit to not defend ourselves? Now, I don't think that Jesus wanted his followers to be whimpering victims. Rather, I think he said that they should respond with love, forgiveness, and generosity. They are not to respond to evil with evil, but rather with love even in the face of evil. Jesus continues with a golden rule: do to others as you would have them do to you. And I think that golden rule puts things into perspective, because both the perpetrator and the victim of a sin are human beings, and as such on a similar level. Therefore, doing good to those who hate you is not the action of a weak coward. Rather, it is the recognition of humanity, even in the people who act unjustly. But seeing the golden rule in this context also sharpens it, because it's not just about being friendly to the reasonable people. No, it means treating others well, even if they do bad things, or even if their whole motivation for action or their whole worldview is alien to our own. We are to treat others as humans, even if they are the very expressions of an unwieldy bureaucracy, an uncaring capitalist system, or a repugnant ideology. Treating others, first of all, as people, that's not how the world operates, particularly not in our day. Today, we often see those as enemies who hold a different opinion from our own. If people don't like the message, often they do not attack that worldview or message, but rather the person. Today, that is often done by trailing through old posts, videos, or publications, and then a word or statement that can be taken as offensive is amplified and the person portrayed as less than human. This then leads to calls for resignation or cancellation because, well, the person is a bad person. But as followers of Christ, we are always called to see the person, distorted though that person may be by hatred and half-truths. In the letter to the Ephesians, for example, Paul counsels slaves to obey their earthly masters. But Paul continues and says that there's really no difference between master and slave, because their real master is in heaven, and with that master there's no favoritism. From such basis, there must be a profound questioning of the power relationship between master and slave. But Paul seems to imply that this should not lead to insurrection against the master. He continues, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, Paul says, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. To me, it seems that this points to resistance against the powers and ideologies behind our enemies, rather than a struggle against the person who represents those powers. Now, I do think that often such a distinction is actually very, very difficult, and I'm not sure whether we can do it on our own, but rather whether I hope that we need God's strength in that as well. After all, often a person is so tied up with a certain organization or ideology that they violently fight to keep that association. An example might be a Roman soldier back in the days of Jesus who was occupying the province of Judea. If this soldier were to see that occupation as harmful, it would then destroy his whole identity as a Roman soldier and all his ways of understanding himself and his place in the world. Now, I don't want to mention too many modern equivalents, but for example, what about a currency trader or a marketing manager of an exploitative company? The list could goes on. I think maybe it may actually be liberating for some people to realize that they contribute to harm, even if such a realization is painful. But on the other hand, I think there are many organizations that are based on good principles and good intentions, such as the Ministry of Social Development, the Immigration Service, the bus system, or even the church. But the culture, systems, and rules have developed in those organizations that cause the representatives to disregard humanity in others. So how can we bring humanity back into those organizations? It probably requires something more than just treating the representatives with respect, though that certainly is part of it. Jesus said, "Love your enemies, do good to them." I hope that I'm not wrong when I suggest that to do this, we need to differentiate between the person and the life-destroying powers that guide some of their actions. As I said, that's difficult. Probably even more difficult is not hitting out at that person. At this point, I know I'm also preaching to myself because I find it incredibly hard not to hit out at some people who, through their actions, have hurt me, who are treating others unfairly, and who, in my judgment at least, make the world a more destructive place. I don't think it's a shame to get angry. We are allowed to get angry. As followers of Jesus, we are called to turn that anger against the evil powers, not the humans who may hurt us. That Christians are called to respond to evil with goodness, to hate with love, to destruction with healing, that's not just some wise philosophical position. It is at the very heart of God's mission in the world. For through that we see God and follow God as revealed in Jesus Christ. God loved us humans even when we were enemies, when we had turned away from God. God gave everything, even God's own Son, Jesus Christ, to reconcile us. God saw us despite our bondage to the power of sin. And God loved us so much that he would even endure the cruel separation of God's own self. For God emptied himself and went to death on the cross to save us from the powers of death and sin. We are called to love our enemies because God first loved God's enemies and brought salvation to us.